So it's my turn. I could spend a lot of time talking to you about everything from bathing out of a bucket to watching kids play, singing Take Me Home Country Roads with the kids, with my ukulele, and having the kids sing along because they already knew the song. There are a lot of unique and interesting experiences that I had. This is my second visit to Angel's Place. I am struck, as Jan talked about, just how these kids have changed, even in the 2 years since I had been there, and how the facility has changed and advanced, and we saw so many amazing things. But I want to share with you a scripture that I found as I was doing my little, I guess, morning devotional. I decided to use the book of James while I was over there because the James connection, you know, from 127 is kind of the theme scripture. And as I was reading, I found this scripture that I wanted to share with you a couple thoughts on this morning. Brothers and sisters who are poor should be satisfied in their status. Those who are wealthy should find satisfaction in their status because they will die off like wildflowers. Now, those of you that might know this passage recognize that I left out a couple words. And these were the words that shocked me when I read them. You know, because sometimes as a family here and as going over to serve these children, we have this attitude of we have so much and, you know, we've got so much to give them and we have such a high status and they are so lowly in their status. But look what James says actually about this. So brothers and sisters who are poor should find satisfaction in their high status. Those who are wealthy should find satisfaction in their low status because they will die off like flowers. The sun rises with its scorching heat and dries up the grass so its flowers fall and its beauty is lost. Just like that, in the midst of their daily lives, the wealthy will waste away. Wow, that was pretty shocking to read, particularly when I'm sitting there thinking I'm in this high status and I'm about to help these poor children in their lowly status. I was changed because of this. You know, it's easy when you go over there and they don't have the things that we have, that we want them to be just like us. Right? We want them to enjoy the sports that we enjoy. We want them to know the Bible the way we know the Bible. We want them to have their worship service the way we do it, the things we do. And it's so easy, frankly, going over there to kind of want to instruct. And quite honestly, I realized, I got it backwards, that, Thank you. That the concepts of service, in this case in particular, was I was getting more from them than they were getting from me. I'll just tell you a quick story while Mike is being my technical assistant here. Thank you for that.
Sure.
You know, we spent 4 or 5 days there. Every morning, about 5:15, you can hear the kids scurrying around and moving around. And about 5:30, there's this clanging bell that happened to be right outside my room that would wake us all up and make us, you know, ready to go. The kids are instantly up, instantly on their way to collect water for their bathing and for preparing the facility. Thank you, Mike. And for making all of those things ready in the morning. And they do that, and then they study, and they do all this activity before they assemble about 7 o'clock in the morning. See, that's an hour and a half later. To have open assembly where they have discussions and a reading about the recent news of world news and Indian news and the regional news and sports news. Kids kind of take turns reading to each other and they spend a lot of time, you know, in that environment, and I got used to it. I had the opportunity after the service, after we had been there for a few days, and Jan Leslie and I flew back to Delhi, and Jan Leslie flew back to the United States. I stayed an extra day because I wanted to do just a little bit of sightseeing. So I'm in southern Delhi on the next morning, and I wake up, and for the first time in a week, I'm in a room that actually had, you know, a bed with a mattress, with a springs. They had a mattress for me, but no, you know, springs, and I actually had hot water that came out of this thing in the, you know, called a shower, which was wonderful for, you know, and all these amazing things in this nice little hotel that I was in, but there was something just missing. I couldn't figure out what it was. I kept thinking, I forgot something. I'm looking for things. And finally, I realized it was the children's laughter. That every morning, you know, by 5:15, 5:30, the kids are up, they're about, they're moving around. It was a gift that they gave me. And so as we think about the different people and the different ways of service that the James Connection provides us, as we've read from Peter, you know, we have gifts that have been given to us that we're to use for God's glory. I'll tell you just about a few of the people that are using their gifts for God's glory. You'll recognize Jan. Jan spoke at our Easter service, which was a great service, in two different languages. You know, Jan would speak in English, and then Sangha would interpret in Payete, partly for the kids, but a lot for the audience, you know, the adults, most of the adults as well. The man on the top, I guess it'd be your right with the glasses reading, is Sangha's brother, Rolato, who manages the facility. Great, unique bass voice. Good guy. Everything okay? And then down here in the bottom, I want to point out to you three very important servants in this mission. Leslie, of course, you recognize, who has a real heart for these kids and makes a significant impact. Sangha, who we tried to get Skyped to you, but I understand the feedback was a little hard to hear him. And actually, he's got a very high voice anyway. And that evening, he was really struggling with his voice. We will do that again so that you can get a chance to interact with him. Very unique man, about that tall, maybe. but a man that knows everybody. We must have stopped 30 different people that he wanted to introduce us to. From tribal leaders to you know, community leaders, is a very unique man, and a blessing we have him. And then this man in the middle here is the superintendent of the school. Childhood friend, Iglion was a childhood friend of Sangha's, who, when he retired from service in the bank industry, Sangha convinced him to come. He told me the story. He said that for almost 2 years, 2.5 years, Sangha kept asking him, please come, please come, please come. He kept saying, I don't think so. I've never done orphanages before. I don't think so. I don't think so. Finally, his wife said, maybe this is what God wants you to do. He's been here, I think, 3 years at this point. A tremendous and gifted man that I have a lot of respect for. He runs a tight ship in a very disciplined environment there of love and concern. I won't spend a lot of time, but I wanted to just introduce you to these three individuals. These are the wardens. Kind of an unfortunate name in our culture, but these are the three wardens that take care of the children. The top two young men, the one on the far right, John, is Sangha's son. Just a delightful, delightful man. Lama is here on the right. He is actually a graduate of the Infall School of Preaching, and is at the facility there full time. And on the bottom here, Marcy. Marcy takes care of all the girls. So we've got the 70 some girls, and she alone takes care of all of those kids. She's a very unique story herself. I believe it was at age 4. She was an orphan and taken to southern India to live in an orphanage for 12 years herself. So she has a very, very strong heart for these kids and for what they're going through and the opportunities. And these three young people run Angel's Place. You know, the other folks are important and manage it, but they take care of the kids on a day-to-day basis. Tremendous, tremendous Christian people in their service and activity. Jan mentioned that we have these 20 new girls. These are just a couple of those new girls that are just delightful to be with. And of course, as Jan invited you earlier, one way that we have an opportunity in this mission for Christian service is to sponsor children. You'll notice on our bulletin board out there that we need actually about 33 kids don't have sponsors at this point. Now we're starting with these 20, and we're going to really try to focus on those. And again, we'd encourage you, they're right outside the door here, to pick up one. Either take it yourself or to make a difference there. But these kids had nothing. You know, I'm thinking about that lowly status and that high status, and you know, the things that we learn and the gifts that they give us. One of the things I think that they gave me this time was to look at Jesus differently. You know, I'm now 52 years old, and have been blessed to be raised in the church, raised by very good Christian people. And you know, and you build a perception of who Jesus is based on what your lifestyle is like. For these kids, Jesus not only saves their souls, but he is preparing and taking care of them every single day. Because they see in what you guys do for them, they see Jesus. So they look at Jesus a little differently, perhaps, than we do. We may sometimes make him very, very spiritual, and it's about our spiritual lives. For them, it's about their physical lives, too. And when you look at Jesus through their eyes, it is dramatic. It's a dramatic, different way of thinking about it. So we have not only a need for sponsors, but I will tell you, we have a need for volunteers. This is a ministry that's been going on here in some form or another for 10 years. From concept through, you know, you saw all the buildings and the activities and bringing the children in and growing. And I must admit, when we got there, we thought we had 130 kids. To find out, we have 156. Because they have such a heart for these children, you know, they invited them to come. You know, most of the girls sleep 2 to a bed. Many of the boys sleep 2 to a bed. There's a lot that they need, but they are a blessed group of kids. We travel throughout that community a bit, and you see kids same age, same place, without the education opportunities, without the healthcare opportunities, without the physical opportunities. So I want to encourage you, of course, to be a sponsor, but I also wanted to encourage you to think about ways you could help us in this ministry. Now, perhaps you've got a special gift that you're looking for a way to use. There are, out on the bulletin board, some very specific things that this ministry needs right now. For example, let me just tell you about a couple of them. Coordinator of gift receipts. You know, we have a need for someone who can take in and manage the database of how the gifts are come, so that we know who has given what and how and when, so that we can do periodic communications to them. We need international correspondence, is what we decided to call it. I will tell you, family, that remember I told you the kids were up at 7 o'clock and they're waiting for breakfast after they do their announcements? Well, Leslie came out with the letters from the kids. And so Songa says, well, do you want to go eat or do you want the letters now? They wanted the letters now, and it took us an hour and a half to pass out the letters, and they stood very, very still, anxious to get those individual letters. You know, you don't have to be a sponsor to write these kids. You can be an international correspondent, and you can write and help us communicate to them and connect with these kids. The joy that they saw when they opened those letters was just astounding. We need a volunteer and sponsor engagement director, someone to help, you know, get sponsors, help get volunteers, and help encourage those folks. You know, some of those folks that have been working in this ministry, many of which are in this audience, have been doing it for 10 years. You know, sometimes you just need to say thank you and pump them up a little bit. And we need someone to help us with that. We need some special projects that people might take on. We had the opportunity to go to another orphanage in the area, and they have a new solar panel. And that solar panel allows them, it charges batteries, so they have electric all night. I think of the 5.5 days we were there, we may have had electric a day and a half. Now, they're used to it, they're very comfortable with it. I wasn't, because I was trying to do, you know, blogging and things and trying to communicate back and forth. But that solar panel is a project that we need someone to help us think through and to manage, and we have other projects like that. We need to endow some tutors for the kids. We need to work with that. We got lots of other projects that even this art that's around the room. We think there's ways maybe we can get some fundraising out of this art with some calendars and some other things, but we need some folks to help us on that. So I'm going to make a personal appeal. If you have a specific interest, if there's something about this ministry over the last 10 years that's touched your heart, or even today that's touched your heart, talk to me about it. Talk to Jan or Leslie or Sharon or anybody. Help us find new things to be able to be done there. Heather has agreed to take on kind of our Facebook captain, if you will. We're going to kind of manage that kind of ministry a little differently. So there are opportunities there that I really wanted to make you very much aware of. You know, a few years ago we published a document that used this kind of visual as kind of an advertising. You know, her life was changed by the loving help of a sponsor. And it's true, and Jan actually told you about her a little earlier. But I want you to know that these kids' lives are blessed because of the volunteers and because of the loving help of James Connections volunteers. And so as we kind of conclude our service this morning, we could talk to you for hours and I could show you a dozen videos of the kids dancing and all that. It's wonderful. But I want you to think about that verse from James that says, you know, sometimes we think we're in a high status, and actually James says they're the ones. I'd encourage you that if you can make a connection with one of these kids through sponsoring, or if you can make a connection through these kids through being a volunteer, you will be blessed more than they will. I'm convinced of that. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for an opportunity to be here this morning and to think about how the James Connection and Angel's Place is making a difference in children's lives. Father, we're thankful for its Christian charity mission. Father, we give you praise for the harvest that you are bringing among these children as you touch their lives with who Jesus is and you help them understand their needs for salvation, that evangelistic outreach. Father, we thank you. And Father, we thank you that the James Connection provides us an opportunity to serve so many different ways that we can be touched. Father, help us as wealthy not to lose who we are as we go about our daily lives, as James said, but to find who we are through who you are and the mission and service that we are asked to do on your behalf. Father, we ask your blessings on the children. We give you thanks and ask your blessings on the staff and the volunteers. Father, we know that this mission is bringing you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.